بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, choices. Life is the name of a series of choices. Every choice leads to another. Not choosing is also a choice. There are no abstainers in the theater of life. Everyone must choose. Some choices are made for us, but even there, when it comes to our personal involvement, if the event touches us in any way, we must choose. People ask, what about political events, wars, for example? I didn't declare war, I can't stop it, I'm not the king of any country. What can I do? The answer is, yes, you didn't declare it. You didn't benefit from it, you couldn't stop it, but what will you do when it comes to helping the victims of those wars? That is a choice. I didn't have a choice in declaring or stopping the war, but I have a choice in whether I want to help refugees or not. Then, of course, there is the choice to raise your voice against war and against all that leads to wars. Wars happen because wars make profit. It's as simple as that. War is the most profitable business known to mankind at this moment. There is nothing in the world which has a better ROI than war. That's why it happens. So do we choose to raise our voice against that? Or do we choose only to complain? Choices. Let me give you another example. More simple example, more everyday example. You are in a gathering and somebody is speaking ill of somebody you also dislike. Somebody is speaking ill about somebody that you also dislike. What do you do? Do you choose to add your own condiments to the curry? Or do you choose to remind the speaker that cannibalism is haram in Islam, prohibited, because ghibah is to eat the flesh of your dead brother? Or do you choose to remind them that when you do ghibat, when you backbite somebody, your good deeds go to that person, and it's not very smart to give your good deeds to somebody you don't like in the first place? That's why Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi about this, he said that if I had to backbite somebody, I will backbite my mother, because at least my good deeds will go to my mother. Or do you simply walk out? Each one is a choice. Each one has consequences, positive or negative. They are there. And we get to choose what we want. Which brings me to another thing about choices. In life, we are presented with choices, as I said. in the beginning, and we must choose. We are not compelled to choose a particular thing, but we are compelled to make a choice. We are free to choose, but every choice has a price tag. And this is where people go wrong. And when the time comes to check out, they find themselves in trouble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu does not even compel us to worship Him. We are free to choose. We can choose to worship Allah, or we can choose to worship something else, or we can choose to worship nothing. All choices. Each is a choice, and each comes with a price tag. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْطَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. The last piece is the choice, is the price tag. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and say, the truth is from your Rabb. Then whoever wills, let him believe. And whoever wills, let him disbelieve. Verily we have prepared for the zalimun, the oppressors, and those who refuse to believe, a fire whose walls will surround them. Price tag. Another thing about price tags. The moment you choose, the price is automatically charged. Many of you may have seen the videos of AI-assisted Amazon stores, where you walk into the store and you pick up whatever you want and you walk out and everything is automatically charged to your cart. And people were very amazed. Wow, fantastic, what amazing technology and so new. So I said, what's so amazing about that? That's happening every day. That is happening every single day to every single one of us, with or without smartphones, with or without Amazon Prime accounts. You make a choice, it is automatically charged to our account. And one day, we get to pay. Amazon only made it possible for us to see it in life. Reminder from, not from Bezos, reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All choices have two effects, one in this life and one in the next. One physical effect restricted to this life, the other a spiritual effect that influences this life and has its reward in the akhirah, in the hereafter. We are free to eat or drink anything we like. What I eat may have a positive or a negative physical effect on me. If I'm diabetic and I want to eat 12 rasgullas, nobody stops me. And then I go into shock. That's a choice. And going into shock is the price tag. However, there is a spiritual side to that as well, which is whether I earned halal and what I ate itself was halal, that also has a spiritual effect. This spiritual effect is also interestingly felt in this world, in your heart. Provided, of course, the heart is still alive. But if it is, you will feel it. You will feel the spiritual effect of indulging in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited if we do that. May Allah protect us from that. Similarly, we are free to go to any gathering, to have any kind of relationship with anybody, to buy or sell anything. In short, to engage in all that the life of this world has to offer. But everything we choose to do or we choose not to do, we must pay for. There are no exceptions to this rule. This is a universal constant, like any other law of physics that operates in this world. Thirdly, every time you choose something, you are opting out of something else. Every time you choose to do something, you are choosing not to do something else. Because the number of hours in a day is fixed. And when we choose to spend time in one activity, with one person, in one place, we are automatically choosing not to do that somewhere else in some other activity with someone else. It bears reflection before we choose to ask, what am I opting out of when I choose this? And why must you do that? Because that is the principle of smart investment. Maximize ROI, maximize your return on the investment. The best investment is the one which gives the best return, highest return. So before investing, we must check the different options we have to see which will yield the highest return. And this is especially important because our currency is not money, it is time and energy, which are both non-renewable. Once gone, is gone. It's not coming back. If, for example, if I choose to spend most of my time earning money to provide my family a good standard of life materially, I am opting out of spending time with them, mentoring, guiding, bonding, building trust. Ask yourself, which is more important? No brainer, right? But why do we do it? What's the price tag? Maybe fewer gadgets, maybe fewer Amazon deliveries, maybe a slightly less fancy car, but more companionship, more conversation, more sharing of interests, praying together, playing together, eating together. Which is more valuable as a return? And which is the better investment? What's the alternative? I spend most of my productive time earning money, telling myself that it is for my family. But in the process, I have no time to spend in their tarbiyah, in listening to them, in helping them to learn how to solve problems, in emotionally supporting them, teaching them manners, connecting them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teaching them the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, studying Quran, Seerah, history. They're a long list. Make your own list. And therefore, what have I lost? And what have they lost? And what did we gain? What is the benefit in this life? And what is the payoff in the Akhirah? Are such children likely to wake up in the night and pray for my forgiveness in the Hajjud, in Sujood? Did you do it for your parents today? I'm not asking for a show of hands. Ask yourself, how many of you made dua in tahajjud for your parents today? For your grandparents? One generation. If you didn't do it, you think your children are going to do it for you? Same children for whom you have dedicated your life, you're slogging day and night. It's not magic. It is not magic. You want it, you got to work for it. As simple as that. And if you work for it, it will happen. Also, no doubt about that. If we want children who will make dua for us after we die, we must grow children who know Allah and who know how to ask Him. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Today I don't know if you know, but today is supposed to be World Suicide Prevention Day. They have these days of nowadays, every day is some day, huh? But this is an important one. This is the World Suicide Prevention Day. And somebody sent me a poster which said that there is a belief that the one who talks about suicide will not do it. And they say the statistics show that that is a false belief. The one who's talking about suicide is inside, he is asking for help. And if you ignore him, then it is likely that he will do it. Let me tell you about two things that happened to me this week. First, I learned, and I won't name the hospital, but it's in this area. I learned that the psychiatric ward to treat potential suicides in this very famous specialist psychiatric hospital, there are 8-year-old children. I don't know if you were shocked or not. I was. It blew my mind. And if I didn't respect and trust the person who told me that, I wouldn't have believed it. 8-year-old children attempting suicide. What society is this? What kind of society have we created? Second, I overheard a conversation between a 4-year-old boy and his younger sister. She must have been maybe 2, 2.5 or something like this. There's a whole family, the mother, the aunt, and other siblings, about 6 or 7 of them, 8 of them, who were fishing for minnows, little fish, by the side of the river. And suddenly I hear this little voice, this little girl. She's pointing and she's saying, "Look at those flies, look at those flies. What are they doing?" And pat like a shot. The little 4-year-old says, "They're making babies." 4-year-old kid. He says, "They are making babies." Believe me, he didn't learn that day. So where did he learn from? Finally, most of us may have heard about the case of the 2 teenage boys, both Muslim, from Texas, both academically brilliant enough to get into Ivy League colleges, full scholarships. Yet one day, they both decided to commit suicide. And they decided to kill their whole family. And they did it. Entire family wiped out. I read the blog of the younger brother who wrote it. And he said, "We decided to kill the family because we don't want them to be sad. If we had just killed ourselves, then they would have been sad. So we decided that we don't want them to be sad." They killed everybody. Maybe some of you are saying, "All this can't happen to my children." That's the usual response. "Oh yeah, it's okay, it can't happen to my children." Let me assure you, the parents of all those children who are screaming for help say the same thing. "Can't happen to my children." That's why they can't hear the scream. They have no time. They have no skill because they never listen to their children. They thought that raising children was only about food and clothing and shelter and gadgets. It isn't. It isn't by a long shot. And some people discover that too late. There are success stories, of course. Stories of children who went on to become world-class professionals in their chosen fields, Islamic scholars of international repute. Although being a scholar of international repute is not a qualification in Islam. People who raise children who are today caring, honorable, responsible parents and community members. How did that happen? Same reason. Time devoted to upbringing by the parents. And that is why I call it an investment. It gives a return in this world and an even bigger and better one in the akhirah. Do we think it's worth our while to do this? Do your children deserve it? Do you deserve it? And if the answer is yes, then what are you planning to do to change your life and your schedule starting now after you finish the salah? Because if that is not part of your plan, then forget it. I made a speech, you listen to that, you go away, khalas, nothing will change. COVID provided us the ideal opportunity by giving us time at home with our families. The question is, how do we use that time? And that's why we must live thoughtfully, not by default, merely breathing, eating, sleeping, but consciously and deliberately weighing our options and choosing the one which gives the best return. Do this experiment as you go out of here. Ask the first person you meet, do you want to be successful or a failure? Do you want to be a success or a failure? Ask them, anyone you meet. What do you think they will say? Maybe some smart guy will say, I want to be the most glorious failure the world has ever seen. Maybe. But that's also a success statement, right? He doesn't want to be a normal garden variety dollar store failure. He wants to be an absolutely gold-plated failure with wings and bells and whistles. Huh? But then let me ask you another question. Given that everybody in the world wants to succeed, right? Look around yourself, in your own circles, in your own society. Are you surrounded by successful people? I don't mean money only. Whichever it is, are we surrounded by people who are successful? Anywhere I look, I'm seeing successful people. Is that happening? It's not happening. Why? Because just one thing is not sufficient. Just one thing is not sufficient. As I came and sat down here and I went through half my khutbah, and I was sitting in the between the two khutbahs, I was looking for some water. There's no water. I said, I wish there was water. Do you think it's going to happen by wishing? I come from a culture where somebody gives it to the sheikh. I'm in a culture where the sheikh has to put his own musalla and get his own water if he wants to drink. Alhamdulillah. Wishing cannot get you a glass of water. How is wishing going to get you success? From where? Same formula. You know why people are not successful? Because they have not defined success. They have not defined success. Why must you define success? Because everything has a price tag. If I go with $100 bill in my pocket to the Lamborghini or the Bugatti showroom, and I say, I've come to buy this Bugatti, the guy will say, fantastic, wonderful, please come. How much money you got? I say, well, I've got this $100. He says, oh, beautiful, fantastic. Please come with me. And he will make me sit down and he will turn on his laptop and project it onto a big 62-inch screen. And he will say, here is the mouse and you can turn it around. You can see the Bugatti from the front and the back, and you can go under it and you can look at it in your aerial view and whatnot. Open the door, open the bonnet and so on. And when you're satisfied, and you here's a box of tissues for your drool. And when you're done, Salaam Alaikum. Goodbye, go home. Because for $100, that's what you get. You get to look at the Bugatti. You want to buy it, you need a little bit more. That is life. That is life. If I want to be successful, I need to define success. Right? If I tell you I'm going to go out of this mosque and I'm going to buy a car, what will you ask me? Farhan bhai, what will you ask me? Which car, right? I said, no, hold on. What kind of question? I told you I want to buy a car. What's a car? Tell me, is there something called a car? You got my friend there sitting. Mazen, in the business. Is there something called a car? There isn't. There's no such thing. There is no such thing. There is a Bugatti, there is a Rolls Royce, there is a Lamborghini, or like Sheikh calls it, Lamborghino, which sounds even nicer. Yeah? There is a BMW, there is this. What is a car? There is no such thing. Can you go in the market and say, I want a car? What's a car? Every car has a brand name, has a price. So if I want to buy a car, I have to define and say, which car? Yes or no? If I don't say which car, can I say how much money I need? Is it possible? No. Because every car has a different price tag. Exactly the same thing in life. I want to be successful. Very nice. What does that mean? What does that mean? And believe me, it means different things to different people. It's not the same thing for everybody. Different things to different people. But if you look at the definition which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu gave us for success, He gave the same definition to everybody. And what is that?
فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who has been freed from the hellfire and entered into Jannah, only that person is successful. Now what is the price tag? What is the investment that needs? The rule in this life, whether it is America or anywhere else, is what? You can have whatever you pay for. No limit. You can have whatever you pay for. Choices. And that's why I remind myself and you, let us get our choices right. This is the single most powerful switch that Rasulullah ﷺ made in the thinking of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, to choose based on what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that when we meet Him, we will be counted among those, inshallah, who are freed from the hellfire and we are entered into Jannah. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And this is what I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. رَبَّنَا فَقْفِ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين